Certainly want to say good morning.
Good morning.
It is certainly good to see each and every one that's come out to be with us this morning. I'm certainly thankful for this, another day, an opportunity to be back in the Lord's house this morning. And I'm certainly thankful for the good Sunday school that we had and the good discussions that was brought out. And it brought out some things that I need to go home and study on and pray on myself, you know, and that's the only way we can truly grow in God's Word is continuing in study and in prayer, you know. I heard a person say one time, he say, what good is it when you have a question about the book that you do not go to the author and ask about it, you know, and I've often thought about that thought, you know. Maybe sometimes we need to go to the author about the blessed book and have him to open up our eyes and our hearts for a clearer understanding of some things. So I'm so thankful for the good Sunday school lesson we had. I'm looking forward to the good service that we had and looking forward to the good service this morning. And I'm certainly thankful for Brother Merle being able to lead singing for us this morning. I thought he done a good job this morning, you know. And while we were singing, I'm thankful that the girls came up and joined us, you know, to see Ariana and Peyton there. So I'm certainly thankful for that. And there's just a lot to rejoice and be glad in the Lord for, you know. I know last week we wasn't here due to sickness, but Brother Merle reminded me before we started singing that, you know, I didn't dwell on this past week, and I should have, and I should have been rejoiceful in the Lord for it. But he asked how the fellowship revival went, even though it broke early due to sickness. But there was at least one saved that we know of in that revival. And I believe that's something enough to praise the Lord for, you know. And there was at least, I believe there's four more seeking there during that revival. So let's continue to be prayerful for them, that the Lord would just get a hold of them. You know, a majority of them were younger kids, but there was one of them who was seeking nightly was an older man. I'd say he's about in his 70s or so, by the name of Sam. And so let's be prayerful for Sam as well, you know, and that the Lord would get a hold of him, you know. And let's be prayerful for the loss that's in our families, that the Lord would get a hold of them and trouble them and draw them to that altar of repentance, you know, that he can reach down and save their soul. You know, that's all I want in this life of mine is for everybody in the world to know the same thing that I know, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that is knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am saved. I want everybody to know that, don't you? So let's be prayerful for those that are lost. I'm sure when you came in this morning, you saw the structure of the building that's being built. Ain't that another thing to praise the Lord for? You know, that's, you know, we've spent a lot of prayers praying for the permits that the city kept giving us, and we spent a lot of time praying for those to pass. And it's just so good to see it finally starting and the work just happening. And so let's continue to be prayerful for that God would continue to supply and continue to help us in that, and continue to help the Brother Randy and the building committee for whatever decisions might need to be made, you know. So let's be prayerful for them. Be prayerful for the service this morning. But I wonder at this time if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts that they just feel like needs to be said or done, whether it be a praise or a prayer request or anything they feel like needs to be said or done. Yes. Wonder at this time, before we go further, if anybody might have anything else upon their hearts this morning. If not, then we'll go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. I've been trying to study this thought out for the last couple of weeks. I thought I was going to be able to preach this last Sunday, and then come to find out, we've been around some sickness, and Bethany wasn't feeling well herself, and so I wasn't able to. But this thought kept coming back to my mind and my heart throughout this week. So I sometimes joke around and say, if I go a Sunday or two without preaching, you might need to bring in appetite or a snack or something to munch on, you know. But we just want to do the Lord's will. So whether I preach 5 minutes, whether I preach 50 minutes, you know, as long as the Lord is satisfied with us, and that's all that matters. So if you got your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm going to go into the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, and I'm reading, unless the Lord changes my heart and changes my direction, I'm reading the first 9 verses of the 12th chapter of Genesis. And for my thought, I want to use this, if the Lord will be my helper. The Christian's walk. The Christian's walk. And we read here in the first verse of the 12th chapter of Genesis, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And I want to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And if you will, please bow your heads with us as we pray. Our most kind and gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We're so thankful for the reading of your word. And we're so thankful, Lord, for your inspired word that you have given us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would bless your word and bless the reading of it, that it would be for our good and our benefit. It would be for your honor and glory. And help us this morning that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would be able to receive, Lord, what it is you need us to hear. And Heavenly Father, help us to be better soldiers for your cause. In your Son's most precious holy name, we do pray and beg it all. Amen. So as we look here in the 12th chapter of Genesis, we notice here a man of Abram who was later changed to, his name changed to Abraham. And Abram was originally in a land known as the Ur of the Chaldees. This was a land that the Bible calls as a land of nativity. It's a land of idols and a land of false gods. And we see here and know in the beginning of the 12th chapter that God one day told Abram to get thee out of this land and to go to a land that I will show you. Now, if you notice that in your reading, you will notice that God didn't even tell him where to go. God didn't even tell him what land he was going to. He just said, I will show you a land. Abram, I'm just wanting you and asking you to be willing to get out of here so I can get you in this land and show it to you. Now you see, the title that we gave and the thought that we got for this morning is The Christian's Walk. And if you've noticed with Abram or Abraham, the Bible calls him the father of faith. And that was because Abram, when God had called him to get out of the land of nativity, to go into a land, Abraham didn't question anything. Abraham didn't stop and ponder about, well, what is it that I'm going to do? How am I going to feed my families? The Bible said Abram took his wife and took his nephew and he went. He went and he trusted that God was going to take care of him. Now, if you would notice with me this morning that we read, I believe, somewhere in the 2 Corinthians, that Paul, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, he told them, he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I believe that there is an importance in that faith. You see, Abram here, he turned his back immediately on everything that he knew, everything and everyone that he loved, and went. He went forth on a simple dependence on God, and he even considered himself a very stranger in the land which he walked. We read in Hebrews 11 that when Abraham and Sarah and Lot and the people there were going from land to land, it said that they considered themselves pilgrims and they just considered themselves foreigners because they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. If you've been saved by the grace of God this morning, I am so glad that I am able to proclaim to you that this world is not our home. This world is not our final destination. I am so glad that I am able to stand before you this morning and proclaim that we are in search of a city whose builder and maker is God, whose founder is God, and who God is the chief cornerstone of it. And yet God himself is the center of it. This world is not our home. What is it that song says? I'm just passing through. That's all we are doing. We're just passing through. We're just traveling through this foreign land. And so while we're traveling along, we need to have faith and depend on God for our every need. You see, there's times in our lives and in our walk with God, God might not come to you like what he did Abram and said, get thee out of thy land. Get out of here. He might not say that, but he might say, go and talk to your neighbor. He might say, go and tell your coworker about that day that I saved your soul. Go and talk to so-and-so. Go and ask so-and-so about their salvation. He might not tell you to go out of the land, but he might tell you to get out of the comfort zone that you are in. If there was ever a time that us as the people of God need to stop being comfortable, it is today. And that's in all honesty. Now, we look at Abram here. And Abram, he gathered Lot, he gathered Sarah, he went. And then we find in the 13th chapter there, 13th chapter in the 10th verse, that they just so happened to stumble, him and Lot did. And him and Lot had a conflict on which way they should go. And so he had told Lot, he said, if you want to take the left side, I'll go to the right. If you want to take the right side, I'll go to the left. And the Bible says in the 10th verse of the 13th chapter that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. See, that land there, I'm persuaded, fully persuaded today, that that land looked really good into Lot's eyes. I am fully persuaded that that land might have looked so good to Lot's eyes that instead of just trying to find some land like what Abram was, that he just wanted to go on to the land that it seemed like had the best of the best, that it didn't have to have hard work to come into it. No dependence upon a supernatural being, but yet just easily there and just right there at our fingertips. And of course, we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, how God, that land was so full of sin that God himself destroyed it. Now, I will say this, when you're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit, doesn't sin look good in our eyes? And that's, I'm just being honest. Doesn't sin look good to the flesh? Doesn't sin look so well and so pleasing to the flesh? And doesn't it look so good that when we're presented with an obstacle like Abram and Lot and trying to decide where to go, we try to go with what seems best to our eyes. But the Bible says there's a way which seems right unto a man, but yet the end of the way thereof is the way of death. So that fully proves in our point that there, that when we try to desire something just by simply looking at it, or just the fact that we might think that it'll feel good to the flesh, it does not. Just because it seems right in our eyes does not mean it is right in God's eyes. Just because we think it's pleasing does not mean God, does not mean it is pleasing to God. Now, we read here how Lot went about and how he went to the place where he was pleasing to his eyes. And so Abram went back to that land, and God already told Abram that he was going to destroy it. And he said, well, Lord, if, and I'm going to try not to get this out of place, but he said, well, Lord, if there just be 50 righteous people there, please don't destroy it. He said, if there just be 50, if there just be 40, if there just be 30, Lord, if there just be 10 righteous people, Lord, if there just be 5 righteous people, please don't destroy it. The land of Sodom and Gomorrah was so full and so corrupt that God couldn't find a one. It was so full and it was so corrupt that God had to destroy it. So full and so corrupt that even the Bible says that sin was jumping out and screaming around each corner that you had turned in that city. And that is because us as sinful man, we think sin is pleasing And so instead of rather having faith in God, that God will take care, we tend toward the flesh and we tend toward the world and see what it has to offer. But all it has to offer, what is it the Bible says? The carnal mind is enmity against God. And when you think with the carnal mind, the end of that way is death and despair. People in this life, some of them have a void in their life, and they try to go to that which might fill it, you know. So you see people give themselves to alcoholism. You see people give themselves and defiling the marriage bed. And we see all these sins that are coming to pass. And folks, I'm telling you this morning that just because it might look right in the world and the world declares that it is right does not mean it is right at all. We are living in society to where sin is coming down. I didn't think I'd get to this. That's okay. We'll just follow the Lord. But we are living in society that wants to do nothing and indulge themselves in their sin. And folks, let me tell you, there's going to be a time that God will look towards His people and say, you need to take a stand. Are we going to have faith to take a stand? See, the Bible says in Hebrews, you know, the 11th chapter there, it talks about faith. And I've often wondered what would be a good definition of faith. And I know a lot of people say, well, look towards the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll find it. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews says that it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I'm not telling you that that's a bad definition. That's not. But I was trying to do some praying and studying this past week. And all of a sudden, this definition came to my heart. I hope you'll be satisfied with it because my spirit was. Faith is the ever-relying dependence upon God. Nothing more, nothing less. That's faith. We read in Romans 14 and 23 that things that are done, if they're not done in faith, it is sin. Why is that? Because when we don't have faith and we try to depend on, and we don't try to depend on God, we try to depend on self. We try to depend on the stuff and the things that this world has. We try to depend on the things and the temptations that Satan offers us. That is sin. That's not relying upon God. We read in Psalms 23 about how this writer was writing there. I believe it was David, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. I shall not have a need of anything, because the Lord is my shepherd. Why would I want something else? Because God is my shepherd. Why would I want to go back to the way that I was living before God saved my soul? The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds me. He clothes me. He provides for me. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of my need. The Lord is my shepherd. And like a good sheep to his shepherd, Abraham went out and tried to find this land. And like a good sheep towards his shepherd, when God told him to stop, he stopped. We read also there about, Abraham and Sarah, back when they changed their name that way, they were really wanting to have a kid, you know, and And we read how the Bible says that Sarah was up in age and she was well stricken in years. She was past that time in her life, as science would say, you know. And so I believe that sort of caused Sarah to have a little doubt to her faith and have a little doubt in this shepherd that they were following. But you know, God sent a man to Abraham one day. And he told him in that tent there where him and Sarah was, he said, Abraham, Sarah will give birth to a child. And we read there how Sarah laughed. And the angel turned and said, why are you laughing? You know, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm so glad this morning to tell you there ain't nothing too hard for God this morning. He can save the deepest and the biggest sinner that's in the depths of their alcoholism, that's in the depths of their drug, that might be homeless. He can lift them up out of that and set their feet upon a rock and establish all their goings. You might think that whatever you're in, whether you're, you know, there's times that we read, Elijah, you know, Elijah had a form. You know, we read how Elijah got sad, you know, and I'll go as far to say Elijah got depressed whenever he was there and serving God. And we read about how Elijah talked to God. And he said, God, he said, I'm the only prophet left. All these people try to seek to destroy your altars, to destroy everything about you. And they've tried killing me. I am the only one that's left. So you know what God did? Bible says, there is an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire, oh, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And there was a strong wind, but the Lord wasn't in the strong wind. But then after all that, there was a still, small voice. You know, sometimes we try to get on the go in this life, and it seems like that we're just too busy for God, and we're just too busy for all these other things, because we got to go to work, we got to pay our bills, we got to be with our family, we got to do this, we got to do that. But folks, sometimes we just need to take a minute and sit down and listen for that still, small voice of God. And Elijah, through what he was suffering, God said, Elijah, look up. There is yet 7,000 more people who's trying to stand with you and trying to stand for me. How great God is. He provides for his people. He knows what we're going through. He knows before we pray what we're going to ask, because he sees the depth of our heart. How great is God? All he wants from our walk is a simple dependence upon him. You know, we read, well, actually, in one of our songs, we talk about the God on the mountain is God in the valley. You know, and I believe it's in one of those verses that even says, we talk of having faith when we're up on that mountain. Because that's when life is at its best, ain't it? But it's down in that valley when there's trials, when there's temptations. It's down in that valley to where our faith is really questioned. I say I depend on God, but do I really depend on Him? I say I depend on Him, but yet, when my job is taken away, when this is taken away, when my family has turned their backs on me, at the end of the day, do I really look towards Him and depend on Him for my every need? Well, church, I'll tell you this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord needs to be your shepherd. And once you have Him as your shepherd, and once you've experienced Him as your shepherd, you will not want. We read, you know, we're talking about the walk of the Christian. You know, it's nothing else but a walk of faith. That's all it is. It's just a walk of faith. Right now, we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand things. We can't fully comprehend things. Oh, but yet we have a shepherd who lightens up that glass every now and then and allows us to see and feel and sit in some heavenly places. All he needs is, oh, just a little bit of dependence. You know, see, we're talking about this sickness that's going around. It's touching all of our churches, as far as I know, at the moment. You know, there's been quite a bit to cancel their services, you know, and there's been some who just stopped going because of the sickness that it is. And I tell you this, oh, when things get so bad like it is, why is it that God's people don't turn to Him? Probably because we don't have enough faith to get us there. Probably because we don't have enough, we don't depend on Him and rely on Him enough like we should. You know, I don't usually tell stories, I don't think, but I guess as the Lord puts it on my heart, there's a little story I might need to say, and I'm not trying to say this for pity, or I'm not trying to say this so you can look at me. I'm going to say this to show you how awesome my God is. You see, when Brother Jeff called me, you know, back in November of 2020, I believe, and told me that y'all had elected me, you know. First of all, I felt so sorry for y'all. But you know what? I started beginning to question myself. And I look at Bethany, I begin to question, what are we going to do about work? What are we going to do about a house? What are we going to do about trying to get a U-Haul? You know, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? You know, I begin to worry myself. We were up here every single weekend trying to find houses and places to rent. And the second we put in an application, they'd either turn us down or somebody else got it. And I'd say, why? Why, why, why? Then all of a sudden, Lord told me, He said, January 16th, move. I'm like, man, you're crazy. Ain't no way. We don't have a house. We don't have jobs. And yet, on the 16th of January, in a month, this was about December, in a month, you want me to take everything, my wife and everything, and move. I stumbled upon a verse there in Matthew whenever I was trying to read and study. And Jesus said, consider the fowls of the air, how they don't even think about their next meal because God provides it for them. I ran past a verse in Psalms 127:9 this past week, how God even hears the young raven's cry, an animal that we think seems worthless and we think is the worst thing that God's created, yet hears their cry and feeds them. And Jesus goes on and says, how much better are you in the eyes of the Lord than the fowls of the air? You know, I was cutting hair at the barber shop, and all of a sudden I saw a bird fly by, and I had to stop cutting hair, and I had my customer then, he said, what's wrong? I said, God thinks of me a whole lot better than that bird right there. How great is God? We came up to look at the house that we're renting right now a week before the 16th of January. They said, nobody's written it. I said, let's put an application in. They accepted it that day. By the time we moved up here, God gave us jobs. God provided everything. And I'm not, once again, I'm not saying this so you can look at me, but how great is God? He has earned my dependence. He has earned my faith. He really didn't even need to earn it. But yet, looking back at the things that God has done, why can I not rely on Him? Why can I not depend on Him? Church, why can you not depend on Him? I had a preacher one time, I heard him preach. He said, you know, sometimes when we go in our lives, we need to put up fence posts. And he said that way, when we get ourselves in a really hard spot, we can go back in our mind and in our heart and look at every one of those fence posts and see God's hand moving and directing us. Church, when was the last time you laid down a fence post when God moved or when God answered a prayer? I was so joyous. I've been so joyous in looking back at all the fence posts of my life. Oh, that my heart gets so filled of thinking, how great Thou art! I could only imagine Abraham's thoughts when he finally went into a land and God said, here it is. I could only imagine Abraham's thoughts when the angel told him and Sarah they were going to have a child. They didn't know what to think, but I could only imagine his thoughts when Isaac came. Oh, could you imagine? He's probably thinking, how great Thou art! How great is Your faithfulness toward me! We even read about how one day God went to Abraham and He said, take Isaac on top of that mountain, sacrifice. You know, once again, I can only imagine this thought. Lord, we've been trying for so long. You finally gave us a child. And now You want me to sacrifice him. But you know, the Bible says nothing about that. The Bible says Abraham took Isaac and went on top of the mountain. And so as they were on top there, and Abraham and them, and Isaac, they had placed the altar there. Isaac looked and said, Father, we have the offering of what we have. We have the altar. We have the fire. But where is the sacrifice? You know, Abraham didn't say, my son, you're that sacrifice. He said, my son, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Because we read in Hebrews 11 that Abraham knew the power of God, that he could resurrect Isaac back if he wanted to. Ain't it amazing how we talk about God and we talk about Him like He's limited to doing things. We talk about Him like, you know, I told a brother the other day, a couple weeks ago, I told him, I said, you know, it's been really on my heart to have a vision for us to look at as the church. And I said, I'd really love for when we get the new sanctuary built within the next 2 years to expand and build another one because God is blessed so much. And he just looked at me and laughed. That's all he did. And then I started thinking, why are you laughing? God's not limited to that. We talk about God like He's limited, but yet in the back of Abraham's mind, Abraham knew God would resurrect, could resurrect Isaac if He wanted to. Folks, is it in the back of your mind that God's got all the power in the world at this very moment? Does that ever come to you? Why do we talk about Him like He's limited? He's not. His people are limited. His people have limited the Holy One of Israel, but yet God Himself is not limited. I didn't mean to get on all that, but we'll just follow the Lord. You know, we try to put God on the same playing field as us. Did you know that? well, I can't do this, so therefore it's not going to happen. But yet Jesus himself said, faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, you could look at that mountain over there, say, get over yonder, and God will remove it. Why are we limiting God to what he can do? Why is that? Once again, it's probably because we don't have enough faith, but yet I'm telling you, folks, put those fence posts down. And if you don't gain dependence from God on that, I don't know what will happen. Abraham probably got to the very end of his life. You know how it is at the When you get older, you know, you start thinking about the things that's happened. My great-grandparents, you know, I could remember before they died, they start thinking about everything that has happened in their life. But yet, at the end of it, they would say, but God was with me. But God provided. I could only imagine Abraham, when he was at the end of his life, looking back at all the heartaches he went through about leaving the land of Chaldees to go find somewhere else, about sacrificing Isaac. And I could only imagine Abraham, before he passed from this life to the next, was thinking, but God was with me. But God provided. God provided. It's as simple as that. The Christian walk, we don't need to have doubts and fears, but yet we need to have this one simple thing, faith. Not just faith that God will provide, but yet the good works that we do will show others our faith in God. James said, faith without works is dead. He doesn't mean that in order for you to earn your faith, you have to do works. But he said, in order for your faith to be shown, there has to be works in behind it. And if there's not, all you're doing to God is a lip service. That's all it is. Jesus told the Sadducees in the book of Mark, he said that, in vain this people worships me, honoring me with their lips, but yet their heart is far from me. If all you're doing is saying, well, I have faith in God, but yet there's no fruits and actions that show it, all you're doing is just saying that with your lips and nothing to show for it. So folks, James also said in his letter, he said, be ye not doers of the word, be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers. I don't know. I'm done with this message as far as I know. I hope somebody got something out of it. But yet, I want you to know whether you've paid attention to a single word that I've said or not. I want you to be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer. The only way that our churches can grow is if we stop going to the church for motions and just to hear, but yet be doers. We need to get in the trenches. We need to pull up our sleeves every now and then and say, God, whatever's going to happen, I know you will provide. And people will see that faith by what we do. I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. I don't know. Maybe I just needed that message. I don't know. Brother Merle, if you don't mind, get us a song. Let us all stand and sing this morning and think about the words that's been spoken about today.